That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, August 19th, 2023. And we've got a full crew on the line, and we thank you, Remnant, for joining us, and we'll bring everybody on. Josh, good morning, sir. And Paul, good morning.
Good morning.
Tim, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning.
And Josh, my headphone was turned down. I just didn't hear you. Still on?
Yes, sir. Good morning.
All right. Awesome. Good morning. And I didn't know if somebody else came on or not. Maybe not. But good morning, men. And again, Remnant, we say good morning to you, and thanks for joining us. We do have the phone line open this morning, 307-745-5913. And I'm fighting a week of hay dust and cutting, so I'm hoping that we've got plenty of things to talk about, and we'll sure turn it around. But Tim, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Certainly. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we come before your throne. Lord, first of all, we thank you for another opportunity to serve you and your kingdom. And Lord, we pray that we would be fit instruments for that. Lord, we ask that you forgive us all our sins, both known and unknown, Lord, and that you cleanse our hands that we might be worthy vessels before you. And Lord, we pray that the words that we utter would be pleasing and honoring to you and would further your designs and your plans. Lord, we pray now that you would stretch forth your hand of strength and protect your people and your remnant, Lord. Remember us, O Lord, and protect us in the midst of adversity on all sides. Lord, give us the joy of our salvation. We claim the stripes of Jesus Christ over us in every aspect of our lives. We pray, Lord, that you would bless this this broadcast that it might encourage and enhance your people's lives. Lord, we ask that every undertaking that your children, your sons and daughters go forward in your name and seek to do would be a benefit to your plans. Lord, I just pray that you'd protect our families. Lord, that you would give us strength and power to go forward in your name. We ask all these things in Christ's holy and precious name and pray it, believing that it will be so. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines open this morning. The call-in line, 307-745-5913. And beautiful weather that we've had. We've had more rain this winter and spring than one lady told me since the 1960s. She hasn't seen it this wet, which is a good thing here. High mountain desert, and so the grass is green, and we're able to cut some hay and got some in the barn, and just a perfect window of weather. Josh, you cut hay, and I'm sure Paul and Tim, I know you guys have done that as well, and you know how important that is to have a window to where you can cut the hay. You have to drive the tractor over and cut it, and then you have to let it sit a day or two. And then you can rake it, and then ideally it's at a light enough moisture level that then you can come behind and bale it, and it doesn't get done in one afternoon. And God has sure blessed us with good weather, and looking around the neighbors just next to us, and then even driving around, it looks like a bountiful harvest here for the hay crop. A lot of people here put up hay. And what a blessing. You know, no matter where you look.
A lot of people put up hay, but.
I lost you there, Jason. Jason, I don't know. I heard you start talking and then it cut out. The other guy's still there?
Yes, sir.
I'm here.
Yeah. Jason, yep. Might have trouble with his phone. I don't know if he's on his cell. It might be giving some problems, but might have lost him. And so, anyway, yeah, it does. You know, a few weeks ago I was down in Colorado, and the corn crop there was, man, pretty high and looking pretty good. Jason, we have you back. Yeah, I think he's having problems with his phone. But anyway, I just wanted to mention it because it's, you know, no matter where you look, you can find something to praise God. In the good times, in the bad, it's harder. But when these things that God controls, the weather and the hay growing well, those are certainly up to him, and we're thankful for that.
Well, and you know, that's a lot of times, and so back up, that everything is perspective. A lot of times we see certain times as bad times or bad things that are happening. You all up there, you've got a lot of rain and you've got some dry weather and you're making a good crop of hay. Here it's dry. It's hot and it's dry and there's not a lot of hay. And a lot of folks are, you know, they're selling cattle, selling off herds, looking at, you know, downsizing and this and that. And some would take that from the perspective of it's a bad thing, it's a hard thing, you know. There's going to be fewer cattle, there's going to be less. But also, on the other side of that coin, you know, we've got to look at the system that we are using, and are we doing it God's way? You know, or do we have too many cattle per acre? And are we counting to be able to have this fertilizer to get this artificial growth that isn't, you know, what we should naturally be able to get out of our ground? And, you know, is the land overloaded and mistreated? Or are we building our soil up to be able to sustain a certain amount of production annually without having to put the chemicals and the fertilizers and this and that. And the answer here, or around here, is we are overloading the ground. And it's not a sustainable system without some injection of the outside catalyst. And so, you know, if folks get back to having the right amount of load on the pasture and being able to give it its Sabbath like it should and get back to God's ways, well, then God's ways allow for dry years like this year, and then also for the good, higher producing wetter years. You know, it's in a cycle, and you got to be thankful for the dry years and what they teach you, and then also thankful for the wetter years where we got the, quote, better weather, you're able to produce more, and you take advantage of that, and you put some more hay up, and you hold on to it.
Amen.
But, you know, you can't appreciate the mountains without the valleys, and you got to plan for both if you're planning on being successful long term.
Amen.
Most of the time when we complain, it's from our perspective too. You know, there's a bigger plan that God has. He sends the rain here up in Wyoming at the moment and hold it down there. He has a bigger plan. But whenever we complain, it's from our perspective, and he has a bigger plan. We have to accept it no matter what. So,
you know, I try to keep that in perspective. We look at ourselves like the sun, and like all the planets revolve around Josh. You know, everything is happening here, and it's all about me. And you know, I'm all that matters. And if it's dry, well, then it's bad for me, and I must have done something wrong. And you know, what did I do, and how can I fix it? But everything doesn't revolve around us, and it's important that we realize whenever we get to looking at things from that perspective of a me-centered world, that's wrong. That's out of order. We're just here, you know, and if we're blessed, God has chosen us and is using us, but it's still not all about you, you know, and you can't take and internally personalize everything that's going on like it's about you, because it's not. We're just a little piece of the bigger picture, like what you're saying, Paul. And, you know, do your part and do it well and be thankful for it. But you can't take everything to heart like it's all about you.
Yeah, I think that's well put. I Matthew 5:45 says, you know, your Father which is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. And I think a lot of times we talk about being Christian soldiers, and we talk about, you know, well, what can I do, Lord? And sometimes the rain or the sun isn't necessarily a blessing for everyone. I mean, when someone is sent that, it may be messing their plans up. I think a lot of times with the rain, it purifies the air and purifies the soil, and the light does that. And the sunshine kills diseases and different things like that that, you know, that we look into. And if you're a Christian soldier, why, the soldiers have to sometimes put up with a little adversity to win the battle or win the war. You know, I mean, I'm sure if you're in a foxhole somewhere and you're a soldier, that's not a comfortable place to be, or you know, bivouacked out in a dry spot, or maybe a pouring rain jungle or something. But the long shot of it is that the benefit's real, and our commander knows exactly what he's doing. Our faith plays into that. It's like, well, he said he'd make a way for us to come through no matter what. So that's where our faith plays into it, you know, and our loyalty and our love for our God. It's like, well, this has to be this way in order for it to work out the way God wants it to work out. So, you know, bring it on. And but there's some adversity involved sometimes. Just a thought.
Can you hear me now, Tim?
Yes, I can.
The scripture found in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I think that it describes it a lot. It says, "And everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know, and as we see these different things happening, I mean, we need to continue to give thanks. I mean, that's one thing that Dad used to always say, is he said that, he said he never had a bad thing happen to him. And, you know, he gave thanks about all the trials and tribulations that he went through. And there's not very many people that can do that. And we're seeing that concerning this weather and putting up, hey, if you got people, you know, we try to be thankful and give thanks for everything that has been given to us. There's people that complain every single year, you know, we got too much rain, we got too much water, the temperature wasn't warm enough, it's too hot, it's too cold, it's too dry, it's this, just complain about everything. You know, and we've got to be the difference on that and be able to give thanks, because I really believe that, you know, it's a cause and effect deal found in the Bible, that when we do give thanks, he continues to bless us and he gives us our bounty. Yeah, this year there was, you know, people were telling us, oh, the hay's not going to be worth anything. It's going to be stemmy. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. I mean, it was, you know, we had plenty of water and we've had good weather. There's people that there was a lot of catastrophe this year. I mean, there was a lot of water and a lot of people got a lot of hay, but they had a lot of stuff that got wiped out by hailstorms and people that were, you know, cutting their hay. And, you know, sometimes you just got to stop and wonder what people are thinking. I mean, you've got 10 days of rain forecasted for every day and people are out there cutting their hay and putting it down. There's a lot of stuff that got completely destroyed just because of lack of management and lack of, you know, taking care of it. So it'll definitely be interesting. But these, what about these wildfires, these fires in Hawaii? It is, that's really something. It's, and I got an article right here, too, that I didn't want to read the first part of it, but it says... this is the most destructive natural disasters are never 100% natural. Human choices, land use, government policies play a big role in how harmful hurricanes, tornadoes, earthquakes, flash floods, wildfires are to the affected communities. And there's a lot to that. I don't know what the death count is up to, but I know it's well over 100. And, you know, with Biden, he's sitting on the beach, hanging out. He's getting up a lot of backlash towards that. Tim, what do you know about those fires?
Well, I know that the Hawaii fire is the most deadly wildfire in over a century as far as death count goes. That's what they're saying. If you can believe, you know, that kind of stuff, there's been more people damaged and more dollars and cents damaged. And there's, of course... at this stage, there's a lot of people talking about what started it, and, you know, some of it could be the electrical situation up there, which, gee, have we seen that? Oh, I don't know, California a few years ago.
Yeah.
Through mismanagement, that's possible. There's a lot of videos out there showing, strange things coming out of the sky, starting fires. There's some talk about destructive energy weapon laser planes starting those fires. Don't know. I mean, the bottom line is there's a whole bunch of people in there buying up this ground now. All of a sudden, they're trying to, because they want to retask it, repurpose. Was the fact that John, I don't know how you say his last name, Pelletier, or however. Is the police chief in Maui, and just a few short years ago in 2017, he was the incident commander during the Las Vegas massacre shooting in 2017. So okay. Strange that he showed up here, and now we have all this going on. So,
that Hawaii Wildlife Fire Management Organization, which is a nonprofit, they went out and they said that there was those areas, and they said they were very extremely fire prone. They said that they did basically assess the situation, and then they did another report. I think that was probably 2017, Then they did another one in 2020, and they said that hey, nothing's been done to try to correct this problem. You guys got a serious problem here. And if a fire gets going, it's going to cause some major damage. And, you know, nothing was done about it.
Yeah, they have really high downhill winds there, and they have a lot of grasses that are up there. That grassland's all owned by, you know, the state of Hawaii and quote-unquote managed by them. And they were like, yeah, it's a fire trap. I mean, and the winds blow downhill in that area down toward the cities on the coast. And we're talking 60, 50 to 80 mile an hour winds blowing down those hills. So a fire is going to really travel at that rate. I mean, anybody, you live out on the plains, the high plains like we do, you know that you see a fire start on the plains over there, and it might be 40 miles away, and that's no distance at all with the way the winds blow. I mean, if it happens to be headed your way, it can be there in, you know, 30 minutes. So it's very, very, you know, there's just a whole bunch of things there that were kind of set in motion for that. Nothing was done. Nothing was managed. There were all kinds of things set up for that. And when it burned, their major electrical center is on that area there, north of, I don't know how you say the name of that city, but
where they had the big solar farm that they were building to.
Yeah, yeah. And Lahaina or something like that. But
right.
Forgive me if I butchered it. But, you know, they had to shut the power grid down there, which killed the wells, which left the firefighters with no water. I mean, basically, you know, so it's kind of, you know, city planning and disaster management at its finest, right? So
yeah, well, and they had those. They also had those. They were, like you said earlier on, those laser planes, which I remember hearing about that when these California fires were going on.
Yes,
and but there was not any really good video footage of them, and that's what's interesting now is there was some really good video footage of these planes shooting stuff out. That looked like they were starting fires, and that's
yes.
You know, that's one thing that's changing is everybody's got a cell phone, and these cell phones have actually got pretty darn good cameras in them nowadays, and you can actually get some really good footage. So I don't know. I want people to, you know, continue to pray for those that are his over there in Hawaii in this situation that they're going through, and you know, continue to lift them up. And you know, I remember that it was years ago that Dad did a message, and it was called God Causes Wildfires. And he did another one that was the man behind the fires. I can't remember the exact name of it, but it was on the California fires, and it was really interesting, and a lot of insight in that. And these fires are, you know, I mean, God's in control of them, and God can put them out as soon as he wants to. So, you know, continue to lift up those that are his in prayers, and it's, you know, it maybe it's one of those things is like, I know that there's a lot of evil wickedness that goes on over there, but I know that there's a lot of good people over there as well. So do ask people just to continue to keep those people lifted up in prayer and pray for the situation.
Yeah.
But as a, you know, side note, if you do live somewhere where you've got a lot of brush and stuff up close to your house, you might want to think about clearing that stuff back just in case you ever had a fire. You know, a little bit of preparation can definitely help out. You know, like you were talking about with the planning on the front, it's good to have a plan and say, okay, well, what would happen if there was a wildfire here? I know there's not one, and there hasn't been one in 20 years, but are you set up to be able to be somewhat protected from that?
Yeah.
You know, or do you have, I saw, actually, right when I was in the fire department, a house that had a bunch of plants that were all, you know, right up next to the house, and they were kind of overgrown and what have you, and I don't remember, I guess it must have been in the springtime or something, or winter, because all that stuff was kind of dead and dry, and you know, it was a grass fire that got up, and whenever it got up into those that shrubbery and stuff, I mean, it flashed up, and there were flames going up the side of the house. Thankfully, we were able to put them out, you know, but because of the poor planning, you know, that house was going to burn down if the fire department hadn't already been there for that that wildfire. And so it's good to, for everybody to look at their situation and see, you know, if this was me, how would I fare, and what can I do to make it better?
Amen. As part of that,
planning ahead.
Yeah, planning ahead, being prepared. Yeah. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we can do our best to be prepared, no matter what it is.
Well, we were just working on one here a while back, a house, and needed to change a furnace filter, and got into the, you know, the utility area, the mechanical room, and that room was stuffed clear full of Christmas decorations and you know, what, fake trees and baby clothes and all kinds of stuff right up. I mean, you couldn't even get in the room, you know, and it was like, hey, this is not a storage room. That stuff can't go in there. Well, I don't know where to put it. It's like, it doesn't matter. You're not going to put it anywhere if you get a fire in here. I mean, get it out of there, you know, now. And they did, but it was like, that's not, I guess sometimes common sense isn't very common anymore. But, you know, it's like bad choice. So, yeah, guy needs to look around and look at some of those things and reassess your situation constantly. So, as far as that goes.
Well, it's amazing how stupid people are today. You know, talking earlier, you talk to a person and they always think of how it affects them. That's the first thing on the whole that affects me as far as finances or anything in life. That's always, how does this affect me? And they just take that furnace room, you know, they don't even think that far. They're just in the way, and they don't do it. They don't realize what could happen. But people, you know, generally speaking, are extremely ignorant. And I don't blame them, because I always say, look who raised them. But people aren't real bright today in an epidemic proportion.
Well, and that, you know, that's, we are people as well. And so I put myself in that group. And there are things you can do to make yourself dumber. There's been plenty of times whenever I've been looking at my phone, whatever it is, if you're looking at email, text message, whatever, and done just something completely stupid, walked by something, done whatever. You know, we're so distracted by our junk, whatever it is, for you, that a lot of times, even if you're halfway intelligent, you do stupid things because you're not paying attention to what you're doing. And there's so many stories and situations, instances where that can be very detrimental to your health and well-being of being distracted, not paying attention to what's going on, whether it's driving or walking across a parking lot, not seeing the hazards that are there, or, you know, falling an armadillo hole in the yard. If you're distracted, we do find ourselves in stupid situations because of being distracted and not paying attention to what we're doing.
That's true. I remember driving vehicles. I didn't have power steering. It took both hands to drive that thing, you know. And now you go down the road with one finger driving the thing, you know. And what you're saying is absolutely true. And it's so easy to be distracted. You look at the speed limit, then you're going like 20 miles over the speed limit. Don't even feel like it. And, but yeah, things have changed so much. I've seen the cell phone come. I've seen private lines come. You know, we had a two-party on our first telephone, you know, and now that's all gone. Everybody's got their own. In fact, hardly anybody's got a landline anymore. So, but yeah, things have changed and made so easy, and so easy to get distracted. Sometimes, you know, the Bible says, be still and know that I am the Lord. And I think we need a little bit more of that, all of us, in our lives. So, because there's so many distractions, and in many ways.
It's funny, as you were saying that, I was the words that came to mind were that kept you honest. You know, if you got a two-party line, if you know somebody's loud to be listening to your conversation, are you going to talk the same way that you are whenever you've got this idea of it being a private conversation with whoever you're talking to? Same thing with my old 66 Chevy, like what you're talking about, 66 Chevy long wheelbase pickup with the steering wheel. Seems like that thing must have been 20 inches in diameter. They were a lot bigger, so you could get the leverage. And there was, you could turn it a half around because of the slack in the steering. And I tell you what, you paid attention when you drove that sucker. You know, the old regular hydraulic brakes with no brake booster or anything. It took you a lot longer to stop, and it was a job to drive it. You know, and now I've rented vehicles before that have it where you got it on cruise control. It senses how far it is from the vehicle in front of you, so it actually slow down. And some of them even steer it into the lane. You know, so you don't have to even be paying attention to what you're doing. But those things aren't necessarily a good thing, because there's nothing there to keep you honest, as talking about before, where you had to be engaged and paying attention, and your brain had to be working.
Well, it's interesting that you say that too, Josh, because one of the things I just read the other day said that more and more people are falling asleep at the wheel and having accidents. Single car accident rates have gone way up, and it's you know, the gist of it was, my takeaway, I mean, they never said that, but my takeaway was people are bored. I mean, they don't have anything to engage them in their daily operations. They just go through their life asleep, you know, and that's kind of a microcosm of it. They're driving down the road and going to sleep. I mean, they don't have to discipline themselves to actually look down the road, or to actually watch their following distances, or to actually keep the truck in the lane or the car, or to, you know, it's just all automatic. Kind of we've entered this, I don't know, I need entertainment phase, you know, going on, where everything's a screen. Well, yeah, it doesn't need to be.
Hello?
Yeah, still there. I think Tim might have dropped off. But it is. Mentioning
that screen.
Yep, that screen.
That screen, it kind of puts you in a third-person perspective. You know, it's like it's not real. Whenever somebody's sitting there videoing an event and looking at their phone, you know, you don't have the same experience as if you're actually just sitting there and watching. You know, as if you're sitting there and filming your little boy's first birthday party. You're not as present as if you're actually there and looking at it with your own eyes. You're looking at it through the screen. It's kind of like watching it on TV, and it's not the same perspective. You don't have the same experience through that screen as you do whenever you're engaged and actually there.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, and that's something that people got to watch. I mean, these screens and this artificial intelligence and a lot of that stuff, I mean, it's just taken over in so many ways. And people got to be careful with it, because it can be addicting. It can alter. It's already changed the way that people interact with people. It's changed the way that people communicate. And you know, it's like, yeah, this text messaging, a lot of people, it's like they can have a conversation through a text message, but they can't hold the conversation face-to-face. And it's, you know, some of that stuff is becoming an epidemic across this country. I mean, it's, you know, basically it's no interaction. You know, it used to be, and our people used to sit on the porch and visit, or they'd get together, and that's what they like to do, is visit together. I remember as a, you know, people at church, you know, they'd be talking, and it's like, okay, well, why don't you stop by for a visit sometime? And, you know, people would come over, and that's what they would do, is talk and communicate. And now that is just, you know, it's almost like a foreign concept.
There's been plenty of times when I've been at work, and you're around 10 or 20 guys, and not many people are talking. Everybody's looking down at their phone, you know, instead of mm-hmm. sitting there having conversations, you know, with the people you're looking at around you. And,
or you go to a restaurant, and people are sitting down with their family, you know, and there might be four or six of them or 10 of them sitting at a table, and all of them got their phones out. And it's like, you know, what's the point?
Yeah. And it's easy to fall into that trap.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
The Bible's got plenty to say about the net, you know, and the snares that are laid out for the net. I mean, obviously, at that time, we think of it as being a net made out of ropes or cords, but I'm not sure that this net situation that we qualify as the net today is so much different, you know.
And relationships are so important. I think a lot of times we fail to recognize how important relationships are, and knowing your neighbor and having a good relationship with them. And whenever you're locked inside of that device looking at whatever it is that you're looking at, you can look at anything on it. You're not building those relationships as if you're actually sitting there and listening to that person and seeing what they got going on in their lives and then sharing with them what you have. And just that idea of iron sharpening iron, you do that by interacting with each other. And once again, when it's in that third person, and then pretty much anything anybody puts on their phone, how much bad or negative or how many bad pictures do you see somebody put on Facebook or whatever? No, everybody shows the best and the cream of the crop and the filtered and the whatever. So it's not real life. It's just whatever somebody's trying to portray that's real life. But when you're sitting on the porch talking to somebody and you're, you know, it's a
well, they call it social media, and there's nothing social about it.
You're right. You're right. That's the opposite of what it is. I guess it's anti-social media, truthfully.
It is.
Yeah. Well, and all the filters. Go ahead, Paul.
Back in the 50s is when the television came into our homes, and you know, and it's really been going downhill ever since, because you have a stranger in there and there's something about something moving and stuff that it gets your attention. And you go before that, there was, you know, I'm not sure I could name you six families that had like 12 or 13 kids that I know, and they didn't have a TV back then, so you know what they did, they had children. And but it's, you know, and then the shows come in with only two children, and then now, well, look where we're at today, where everything is so perverted that it stinks. But that got into our house. You know, the Amish, they don't have a TV. There's a people around here, a self-righteous group, that they don't have TVs. But that is a very destructive thing in your house. I mean, it could be. Pastor Peter said, you know, we gave them the TV. Are we going to give them the computer too? You know, the internet and. That's really, it all could be used for good, but also is used for bad. And, you know, you've got to shut that thing off. But what you take in is what you is, you know. So
it robs you of your time. You'll be, whether it's watching TV or looking at your phone or whatever, you'll be engaged. And before you know it, you look up and it's hours and past or however long, you know, and you don't realize that time has gotten away from you. Once it does, you can't get it back.
And then it becomes a habit that people, especially this younger generation, that they just live on that. And it ties right back into, you know, the single vehicle accidents you guys were talking about, you know, people falling asleep, distracted driving, people texting and driving, talking and driving, whatever, distracted driving because of their cell phones, especially in this younger generation, is paramount. It's a huge problem. That contributes
because
to
those habits. Those habits are normalized because
that's
so
right.
Many of the grandmas, if you wanted to have a fight on your hands, you get between them and that TV set whenever I was a kid at 11 o'clock when the soap operas come on. And that was a habit that started way back when. And those little old ladies, you catch a whooping if you got between mama and her stories, you know. And so it started way back then, and it gets normalized, and so the more that we are engaged in that, the more time we give it, and the more weight we give it in our lives, then every generation it's going to get, unless there's an outside force acting upon it, it's going to be multiplied. So we normally pray about what we talk about on here on Saturday mornings, and a lot of time God gives us a topic or scripture. And one thing this morning that came to me, the scripture in John chapter 15, verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I had to go on a little drive this morning, and I was thinking about it whenever I was driving, you know, the different situations where that's applicable and how it's relevant to us in our daily lives. And I know as myself, you know, we speak about perspectives often. We talked about it earlier. But especially as a young man, I always thought about this scripture, and I thought about, you know, if running into a burning building and to save somebody and being willing to give your life for theirs, or, you know, if somebody's injured on the battlefield, going out there and getting them, and, you know, these different things, running and pushing somebody out of the way of a bus whenever they're going down the road. And where all those are relevant, you know, you think about the Samson and the David and him standing up against Goliath, and those people actually laying down their lives for other folks. But there's also scaled versions of this, which are the same thing. And, you know, if you've got a brother that's in need, that's going through a hard time, just lost a parent, or if they've got trouble at work or what have you, whenever you call them and you spend an hour listening to them and counseling them, or if you drive to where they're at, you might have to drive 4 or 5 hours to go see this brother that's in need. You're giving them part of your life. You know, you can't get those hours back, but you're sacrificing that for them because they are a brother in need. And so this scripture isn't just in these single actions that are really an easy decision to make of what's the right thing to do or not the right thing to do. And, you know, you make this one decision and that's a pivotal moment in your life. We should live this scripture every day in where we're given our lives to our brothers in the form of support. Because you never know how much it might mean to somebody that for you to be there with them. And it might cost you some money. It's going to cost you some time. And if you look at it in just a nuts and bolts scientific sense, you can't ever go get those hours back. But we also know that whenever God steps in, that we can pray and that he can add time onto the back end of our lives. He can stretch it out or he can shorten it, whichever way. And so I was just thinking about the importance whenever we make time for the brethren, we make time for our friends, for the people that need us and that we could help in every single day of our lives, whatever that sacrifice is. That's giving a part of your life to them to try to help them. And that's fulfilling what the scripture tells us. And I backed up a little bit and thought about, you know, read in verse 10 here, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even if I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love have no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. And just listening to the context of before and after that makes it so much more clear of how much that means.
I think we shouldn't look at that as a sacrifice. It's more of an investment. You can invest time. Sometimes some time invested in a person in need is a great investment, you know, for them and you. And I think we think of a sacrifice. We gave something other than we could have been doing, but an investment is what we should look at as. We invest in our fellow man, and there are rewards for that.
And that's our duty,
yes,
isn't
sir.
It?
You're right.
That's our duty to do that. I like that verse you read there, Josh, John 15:10. How do we abide in his love? He tells us, do this. If you do this, you will abide in my love. And we hear a lot about that from the, you know, the radio and the and that about it. But it's if you keep my commandments. And it seems like that's been thrown out the window with so many. They want the love, but they don't want the obedience. They don't want the doing, but they want the love. They want to abide in his love. And the only way to do that is to keep his commandments. And Jesus told us to do just what you're talking, just what you're saying, right? To love your neighbor as yourself. And when you do that, you think more highly of your neighbor, your brother. And it's not, well, I've got this figured out, and that guy's just SOL. It's not that attitude. It's just the opposite of the world's attitude that he brought. But it's not just love that the world looks like the world looks at it. But it's for you to abide in my love, keep my commandments. It's a formula that works. You can't have the you can't have the cake if you don't break a few eggs, so to speak. And that's the formula that works here.
I like it better what the way that you put it as far as an investment. That is a better way to look at it. And I said sacrifice because in the short term, you know, you don't have the time to do something else. But whenever it's an investment, you know that it's going to pay dividends in the long term. You might not have it right then. But it's the right thing to do, even if it doesn't benefit you. It doesn't matter if it benefits you or not. But as long as you're doing the right thing, if God puts something on your heart to take and do it, and it helps to have that quiet time that you were talking about earlier, and to spend it with God when you're riding down the road, not to have the radio blaring, you know, but to be listening and thinking and fellowship and praying to get that quiet time so that you can hear whenever you're not being entertained. But whenever we hear something and he gives it to us of, hey, you know, what about so-and-so? Have you checked on them lately or how's this going on? Don't just ignore that. You know, take that as, okay, well, God gave me this. Let me follow through with it. Let me keep his commandments and take care of my brother. You're right. It is an investment. Is a good thing.
Amen.
Well, you take Jesus' sacrifice was an investment in us. You know, it's a two-way street. It's a small thing, but it's a real thing.
And he made that investment because
it
of his
really
love
is.
For
and,
us.
And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And that's what we, you know, just need to continue to do. And, you know, that's one of the things that, you know, I've noticed too with, you know, if we think about it, we got to put that into perspective. Our Heavenly Father, think about the investment that he put into us. And, you know, we've got to do that, you know, do the same thing is with our children. You know, a lot of people, it's, you know, it's, you know, they can't wait until their children turn, you know, 18 to get out of the house or 16 to get out of the house or this or that or, you know, send them to the schools and let the school raise them. Put them into school because that's the best thing for them. You know, we've got to make a conscious effort of investing in our children. And, you know, and sometimes that investment is time. Some of that investment's money. I mean, it can be a lot of different things. You know, when we invest in a lot of different areas in a lot of different ways, shapes, and forms. And every child is different, and every child needs something that is molded for them, you know, because there's no two that are alike. And that's what we've got to continue to, you know, realize that and act upon it. It's something that's important.
The other thing about that, Jason.
the best thing
you
do
don't have any
time.
You don't have anything that was not given to you. From the first moment when your mother gave birth to you, to your God-given talents, so everything that we have was given to us. Oh, well, I work hard and I do my, well, you do, and that's fine. You work hard with what God gave you. God gave you your health. He gave you your talent. He gave you your intelligence. And so everything we have is because it was given to us. So whenever it's time for us to, when God shows us, hey, you need to have children. You need to invest time into them. You need to invest in your brother. You need to, when he puts something on our heart, it's our duty because he gave it to us. It's his anyway. And you don't think he'd take it from you. Look around in just a quick second. Somebody that has everything can go to have enough in the physical realm. And so we're to be obedient, to be his friends, and listen to what he's telling us to, and be good friends to each other.
And be good stewards of what he's been given, what's been given to us.
Yep, don't dig a hole and bury it. Take it and invest it. Do something with it.
Yeah, good point. Real good point.
There was a president's wife that she had 17 children, I think, and she gave every child an exclusive 1 hour a week. They got 1 hour a week, each one of them, and every one of them turned out really good. To see, it ain't so much time you can give to them, it's a quality of time. When you actually, a lot of times, listening does more good than speaking. People need to get things out. If a child can express themselves and got someone that they're under divided attention, so many kids today are in the way. And I'm making dinner, they just ain't got time for them, and that's where I come up with that saying, my goal, my responsibility in life is to train my replacement. And that's our goal in life. Our life is pretty short. I'll tell you what, 70 years ain't much when you look back. It's pretty short, and that is really our responsibility in life, is to train our replacements. So if your children or whoever's children, whatever you can have an influence a positive way on a child or someone, a child that really don't have a home life, you can talk to them, and they'll never forget it. I mean, a bully is looking for discipline just about every time, and he's not getting it. That's why he gets away with it. My daughter got on the bus. She's in kindergarten going to school. And the neighbor kid was picking on her, and I was going to call the bus garage and something, and all of a sudden, I said, Dana, you take that lunch pail and you whack him right over the head just as hard as you can. And she did, and he never bothered again.
Yeah, well, and we're just about out of time, but that's what I want to encourage people and to try to be positive. And I always try to leave on a positive note. And that's one of the things that we can do is, if we just stop and think of how much our Heavenly Father has put into us and the price that was paid, the price to give us freedom from our sins, our health, and the freedoms that we do have that He has given us, and the lessons that He's taught us over the years, and the the lessons that and the things that He spared us from. I mean, it's a humbling thought, and I want just everybody just to make up their mind that they're going to be a better person, that they're going to work harder, that they're going to be stronger, that they're going to take control of their thoughts, take their thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, and strive to be that better person, strive to be better fathers, better mothers, better sons, better daughters. Whatever your role is, we need, as Christian men, as Christian soldiers, need to be better husbands and strive to be able to do that and make a difference and let that light of Jesus Christ shine forth from us. And a lot of people, they've completely given up hope on humanity and life and just down in the dumps. And we gotta have the attitude that we're gonna win. And if we gotta think generationally, like our enemies and the enemies of Christ have, and just continue to, though weary, we press forward and smile at the future. So So that's my last 2 cents worth for today. But do encourage everybody to you know, spend some time in prayer. Pray for this country. Pray for this land. Pray for those that are you know, battling, facing the flames. And yeah.
Amen. Well, guys, we are out of time. Thanks so much for taking time to join us and for the inspiring words for the remnant. I know that they charged my battery up, and I know it happened that way with the remnant as well. And remnant, we want to invite you to church tomorrow. You can join us at scriptures4america.org, right there on your smart device, on your handheld, on your computer, whatever. It's one of the good things that the web can do. You can join us at scriptures4america.org. You can do that starting at 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning. That's 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. We got some West Coast listeners and viewers, and we're glad that that you tune in. We'll start out with a review of the news and a timeless pulpit message, and then a new message for you, as well as give you the opportunity to partake of communion. So we hope you'll join us there, and to all those that are his, God bless, and we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hells and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever, God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.